both of these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Writer and the Fighter. I am your co-host, David Golden from OregonSportsNews.com. Joining me, my co-host, Jake the Half-Black Attack Smith from Bellator MMA. What up, dude?
I pooped before I got here.
Good job.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that's known to everybody. I've actually have a pretty good streak going on here. It's been about four podcasts since I pooped here last. And you haven't congratulated me on that. You haven't made like any announcement. So I just figured I'd pat myself on the back.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, because this week I didn't clean my bathroom before you came over. I usually try to clean my bathroom the night before, just, you know, so just in case. Yeah. I put it off for a day, so, you know, I'll do it later today. But
nice, solid. Well, maybe I might shit at the end of this podcast. I don't know. I already finished my coffee, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I had like food poisoning junior this weekend, like food poisoning light. Is that a thing?
Okay. I think I know what you're saying.
I went to this Mexican place down in Eugene and like, man, it immediately did not agree with my stomach. I was at a high school football game. Like, well,
yeah, I saw that. Your nephew, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He killed it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. He had a rough first half a little bit, but he ended up having a great game. They had to stop having him run the ball a little bit because he was the only one making tackles on defense. So they were leaving him on safety. Dude, he's so goddamn fast. It's crazy. Yeah. Like he cut like literally all the way across the field and up like 40 yards, outran like three linebackers and caught this kid just dragging him. Like, he's so fast. It's crazy. Like,
that's tight.
Yeah, it was exciting. But the little halfback option, so he got to pass the ball, a couple running touchdowns.
He's doing it all, huh?
Yeah, doing it all.
Force fumble. What grade? You know.
He's a junior this year.
Oh, okay, that's good.
And he's like kind of feels like he's being shot out of a cannon because he was injured last year.
Anyway,
so I was up there and I had to use the bathroom during a football game, and then had to use the bathroom after the football game, and then I had to use the bathroom when we stopped for gas, you know, and on and on and on, you know.
Solid. So
it was just, no, not solid.
No.
Very loose.
Set you up for that one.
Yeah. So I'm glad you're not in my bathroom right now.
Yeah.
Because of that, maybe.
I mean, you know, it's going to be a good podcast when the first thing we talk about is shitting.
That's I feel like it's like one of the hallmarks of our show.
That is, right? Like we're gonna have our own drinking games. Like, how many times do they bring up poop? Well, take a shot.
Anytime I drink, like that is an invitation for taking a shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, every time.
All right, that's good. I'm glad I know that about you.
If I drink too much beer, I will shit everywhere.
Yeah, beer shits are, that's a real thing. Yeah.
All day long.
Yeah. Yep. I just foam comes out of my ass. It's weird.
That's gross.
Anyway, let's get into some MMA. Right on, guys. I feel like we need like
remember that time
like radio.
Tim Sylvia shit himself in the ring.
No, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, that was a thing.
In the UFC.
Yeah.
Like, did you notice he shit himself, or is it just like a story? Like,
oh no, everybody, the story you can see the streaks. Yeah, it's not good.
Oh wow, as bad as who's the chick that shit herself. Oh, and they were literally rolling. It was Felice Herring and someone else.
Yeah, that was gross.
It was straight up rolling in it.
Yeah, that was like some marathon style shitting. That's nasty.
Yeah, that's like my biggest fear. Honestly, that is my fear. Is someone told me that they go, you know, when you get knocked out or choked unconscious, you just release all your bodily fluids.
That's not true.
It's not true, because I've been choked unconscious, so
yeah,
I know
me
that.
Too. Fuck that.
But that's my biggest fear, is me getting knocked, like the shit knocked out of me, like straight up. Like, that's legitimately my biggest fear when I fight. It's like I have to make sure I shit before I spar or do any class.
Oh, totally.
And I have to make sure I shit before I fight. So like it'd be like moments before I walk, I gotta go to the bathroom and shit.
Oh, dude. When I get anxiety, I always have to, like, I get bad, like, when I was in school, I'd get bad test anxiety. Yeah. And like every time before I test, I'd have, like, immediately test would start, and I'd be like, gotta go to the bathroom. Sorry.
Yeah.
You knew this was coming.
Yeah, one of my old gyms used to call me shit break, because I'd always have to go shit.
Yeah. You ever get like paranoia that you have to pee even though you don't have to pee, like as soon as you get into the gym or like you start into something, you're like, oh man, I think I gotta go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, that happens to me.
Yeah.
It would happen like, you know, like you have on, like if you have on a cup, like it's even worse. Now you have on, you know,
you have
an athletic supporter and you're just like, man, that was the worst.
Yeah.
I don't miss that shit. This is why I don't exercise anymore.
That's a solid reason not to exercise. I think I might take you up on that.
Yeah. It's smart, man. That's how you do it.
I'm over this working out shit.
Yeah, working out is overrated. But also being overweight is overrated sometimes.
I mean, I don't know. I like it. I mean, I like
you it. You like it now while you're young. Just wait till the doctor's like, you know, you're pre-diabetic, son.
I'm like, well, I guess fuck it, you know?
You're like, give me that metformin. Call it a day.
I don't give a fuck.
You got pills for that, right?
I'm like, sir, have you ever had a Snickers? Like that. But yeah, so besides our bowel movements, so we had an interesting little interview with Cowboy Cerrone that happened with Joe Rogan. So you said that you only watched like half of it because he starts getting weird into the ayahuasca shit, right?
No, well, I just didn't finish listening because it was long.
Yeah.
You know, like I only have so much time in the car or walking. And so I was like, yep, I got as far as I could. And they had kind of stopped talking about MMA and had sort of gotten...
That was kind of like the only really thing I cared about. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it seemed weird. So for anyone who hasn't listened yet, Donald Cerrone was on Joe Rogan's podcast and he was talking about... He's had a separation from Jackson Winks MMA because Mike Perry and he are gonna fight.
Yeah.
And Mike Perry recently joined up with that gym, and basically Mike Winklejohn told Donald Cerrone, hey, we're gonna corner Mike Perry and not you, which didn't sit very well with Cowboy Cerrone, seeing as how he's one of the OGs from Jackson's.
Yeah. Whenever you think of Jackson's, like, he's one of the top guys you name, like, who came out of Jackson's, you know?
For sure.
Which is...
Him, Carlos Condit, Diego Sanchez. Those are the names that I think of when I think of old school Greg Jackson guys.
What I love about this, the fact that he came out and he did this, is now we can go back and reflect on the whole John Jones and Rashad Evans drama, right? Remember when that break went down and everyone's like, oh, no, Greg tried not to... pick sides and da-da-da-da-da, and everyone like trying to make it seem like Greg and like Wink, that whole camp was good guys, and it was Rashad being a diva. Well, now we look back on it and we can see, well, maybe the loyalty in that gym isn't very strong.
Yeah, maybe. Basically, what Donald Cerrone was saying was that as soon as that gym got to a point where they opened up to the public, it used to be that they had like the pro team and then they had the gym.
Yeah.
And a lot of pros would go there and they could train there and be a part of that, you know, be a part of that group, stay at the dorms, do whatever. So guys like GSP would go there and he'd have people that would show up for his camp specifically, like Nate Marquardt, Rashad Evans, you know, the regular old school dudes from Jackson's. And it seemed like that was kind of what drove things into a different direction, was when the gym expanded and they started allowing, you know, regular people to train with the pro team, when that very first happened, you heard a lot of talk about it actually. And it was kind of weird, like to hear, you know, these people are coming into the gym and they're getting to, you know, spar with guys who are in the UFC, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me, you know, right out of the gate. If you're just a dad coming in there to...
I honestly never heard anything about that until just now.
Oh, no. That's something that they brought up a long time ago.
Yeah, that's the first I've heard of it. I mean...
But it seems like that really drove a wedge in the team a little bit. And it certainly was something that drove Donald Cerrone a little bit nuts. I mean, he makes a point about talking about how that sort of bothered him. And apparently, according to Cowboy Cerrone, at that time... Mike Winklejohn's name got put up on the on the marquee as well, and Greg Jackson sort of started to take a back seat as far as what he was doing with the gym and the fighters.
Okay.
I mean, that's what it sounds like. I mean, and that obviously upset Donald Cerrone.
Yeah. But my point was that regardless of if there is these people coming in, you still can show loyalty.
No, for sure, but obviously.
So I'm just saying, even Greg Jackson, even though this is a Wink John thing, right? Uh-huh. And then Greg's kind of taking the backseat or whatever. But even in that interview, he talked about how Greg Jackson was kind of just kind of passive about it.
Yeah, fence riding a little bit.
I'm still saying it again, reflecting back on the John Jones and Rashad Evans. I think I'm just saying that gym right there is obviously more business minded they clearly went with the young buck John Jones over Rashad, despite loyalty. They're going with the young buck Mike Perry over Donald Cerrone. That's the correlation I'm trying to mesh here. They're thinking about the money. They're thinking about that. They're not thinking about loyalty or whatever.
Well, it's funny you say that because obviously a bunch of people came out after Cerrone's interview to defend, themselves and their gym, and one of them being being Mike Winklejohn, and he came out and was like, if you want to talk about loyalty, Cowboy Cerrone is the least loyal guy there is. He's never in the gym. He does his own thing when he's here. He doesn't want to train with the people that we have. He only wants to use certain people for certain things. He's not loyal at all. The rest of us are trying to grow the team and do better.
Yeah.
And he's not willing to work with other people. So like, I think there's two sides to the coin.
Of course, there's always two sides to every story. I mean,
it's hard for me to say who's right and who's wrong in this scenario. I applaud Donald Cerrone for coming out and saying something.
Yeah.
And like, and not being a total dick about it.
Yeah.
While I'm sure Wink thought he was being kind of a jerk, in saying some of the things he said, he did say they're like a puppy mill. They're just in there, and like,
dude, they are though.
No, I get where he's coming from, but like you could use a little more tact in the way you say it, but like he wasn't a total jerk about it. I mean, he didn't seem like he was being like, I don't know. He didn't seem as upset as I would have thought that he would have been. Like I would have been up in arms if I were him.
I think he was more hurt than anything,
really bothered by it. I would be. I mean, when you think back how long he's been training there, I mean, well over a decade. And
I mean, it's a status thing too. I mean, he even explained it, at one point in the conversation where he's like, yo, if it was like someone like Carlos Condon or something like that, someone who's been there a while, he's like, I just felt like Mike Perry was overstepping by calling me out. And, I'm supposed to be one of the top guys here, like I should hold some kind of a status. Right.
Yeah.
And they're just like, but then of course Wink had his whole like, well, weren't you trying to fight him when, he didn't have a fight? But that's where things get kind of like, well, okay, there's that. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
They both seem like dudes who are just like, oh yeah, let's just fight each other. We'll be cool after.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Doesn't seem like either of them are too bothered with the idea of fighting each other, but
they would fight fucking their training partners.
Yeah. You know? I think the biggest problem is Donald Cerrone is on, like, he's on a big skid for him, if Donald Cerrone were looking hot and had a bunch of wins behind him, the team might be saying something different, I mean, that's the other thing to remember is if Donald Cerrone is, one of the guys in line for a title shot, they're going to probably back him a little more than they are Mike Perry. And that's a bit of a problem in and of itself. But what I think is interesting is, these issues have been going on for him for some time, and he really did start.
Like, what do you mean?
Like the issues with not wanting to train at the gym and training instead at his ranch with a bunch of dudes. And like, I mean, he basically said he was forced into doing that and he didn't really want to do that.
Yeah.
And it shows in his performances, I mean, that has to have something to do with the way he's performed as of late. Oh, like shit. He hasn't had the right kind of camp. Like,
yeah, I didn't realize. I just, sorry to cut you off. I was looking at his record. Didn't realize he had 3 losses in a row. Then he had that win, and then he lost. Okay, so out of his last 5 fights, he's 1-4.
Exactly, wow. And so and all of this seems to have come at a time when he's having issues with figuring out where he's going to train, and he's, you know, he's built up that BMF ranch and he's got all these dudes down there training with him. But he even said it on Rogan's podcast. He doesn't want to be the guy who's running a gym. He wants to be a guy at a gym who, they're focused on him. He doesn't want to have to worry about all the other stuff. And the other thing is when he's at his ranch, he's not just doing the training. He's there like he said, he's shooting guns. He's on his boat. He's doing
that. Fucking around. Yeah.
And all of that plays a factor when you're training for a fight at the highest level of the sport. And so,
it's funny. I've been kind of playing with that concept in my mind. This whole, like, cause he said like, he tried the whole, like, let me be strict. I'm a regiment kind of guy, straight and narrow fighter, and that backfired on him. He said that backfired. And there's another buddy that fights, his name's Tyson Nam. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I haven't talked to him about it, but talking to Ricky, told me this. He's like, yeah, Nam's kind of in this whole like fuck it like lifestyle right now.
Sure.
Like I guess he's been kind of a little bit more lenient on things and kind of he's enjoying his life essentially, right?
Sure.
And with that, he had this like this monstrous year this past year. I mean, I think he just lost finally over in Russia, but he was knocking out, you know, these guys. No. You know, he went on a streak, right?
And they were like highlight reel knockouts that everyone on the internet was watching.
Exactly. So he was killing.
Go Google Tyson Nam knockouts and go watch some of his knockouts.
Honestly,
over in Russia.
Probably the hardest pound for pound puncher. Like, he's a 125 pound man, but he's hit me and I'm like, oh shit, he does not hit like a 125er. Like he is like a grown man.
Yeah.
But anyways, my point is, I've been kind of playing with that concept. Like, fuck, maybe, you know, because at times, like, I'm not very. I'm not the most, you know, strict about my, you know, like I don't get me wrong. I fucking work my ass off. I train hard, but I also like to have a good time. Daddy likes to party. By party, I mean eating candy. So, my point is like, I've been kind of playing the cons like maybe, you know, cause at times I feel like, maybe I will never be elite because I'm not this fucking, you know, waking up 5 a.m. hitting the road for seven miles and then, you know, eating just purely vegetables and shit. You know what I mean? I'm not that fucking guy. But the more of these athletes I'm meeting who have been successful, they aren't either.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, part of it is because it's who cares the least sometimes is going to be the better one because you're going to be able to fight a little bit looser. You're going to be able to go out there a little bit, you know, more reckless abandon. So
it's
hard to say. It's hard to say. Yeah. I mean, I just think there's so many different ways to approach fighting and sports in general. It's crazy because that's all you hear about is just you have to be dedicated. You have to be strict. You got to.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think sometimes if you're talented enough, you can do stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then there's clearly like the uber athletic guy.
Who's exactly.
Just born naturally gifted. And you're just like, oh, there they are.
Yeah.
You know, and they can forego technique for athleticism. Happens a lot.
That's where I see Tyron Woodley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
But I'm not saying that he doesn't work hard. That's not. I hope no one. I just think that he's so athletically gifted that he's winning fights that I don't think technically he should be winning.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I see that.
Yeah.
More on Tyron Woodley later.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole Donald Cerrone thing is a little bit weird. I like that he had the heart to come out and say it, you know, but at the same time, like, yeah, maybe you're bummed out about it and you go on and say it, but at the same time, maybe you find another place to go train for your next fight before you get into it. So you can say, you know what, it wasn't working out. So I'm over at this gym right now. I'm trying something new.
Yeah. What is he doing? Did he say anything about that?
Mm-mm.
He's just staying at the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, and Greg Jackson apparently will come do some training with him, blah, 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 you know, but not, doesn't sound like a whole lot.
But I thought he was saying, when he was talking about Greg Jackson, that like Greg Jackson said that he was willing to do that, but he decided to not have Greg there.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Is that what
like.
He said? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure I comprehended that right.
But so who knows what he's going to do for training, you know? I mean, it's not as if he's not training with just killers, you know, like
he
certainly does, you know. I mean, anybody who wants to go down to his ranch who's a high performance fighter, he's bringing you out, you know.
I remember when the ranch first opened up, that's what he was doing. Like, a lot of the guys from up here were going. Like, Brent went down there, Pat was going,
Pat Healy was there,
Ricky went. Pat asked me if I could go, or invited me to go, and I was like, I got a fucking job. I wasn't still fighting on shitty prime shows. So
still, man, that's an opportunity, right? I mean, you're out there, with a lot of good dudes, you know, working hard, having fun, you know. I mean, there's something to it for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something to it for sure. But it's hard when you don't have people who are looking at who are watching tape for you, or who aren't looking at your technique and breaking it down and saying, no, you need to do this, you need to do that. There's a reason that people who are the greatest fighters in the world have coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know.
No, yeah, you definitely need that team behind you.
Yeah.
Like, it is a, you know, everyone says it's an individual sport, but we wouldn't be anywhere without our team.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Man. I mean, you need all of it. And especially in today's mixed martial arts, right? Like, you need to have a wrestling coach. You need to have a game plan. You need to have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And And so I'm not really sure what's going to happen with Donald Cerrone, but based on, you know, based on where he's at right now and based on his frame of mind, clearly he's upset about this whole thing, more upset than other people. So like, mm-hmm. if I have to bet on who's going to win against him, you know, either him or Mike Perry, normally it, I would take Donald Cerrone, you know, nine out of 10 times. Yeah. But right now he's losing and he's not, you know, he's not looking confident. He doesn't have a coaching staff. Like,
yeah, it's strange, man.
You know what I mean? So,
well, sorry to cut you off again. It's the caffeine, dude.
It's cool, man.
Go ahead.
You're allowed to.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, well, the thing that I find really fucked up is that team knows Cerrone, right?
Yeah,
inside and out. And one of his buddies, well, supposedly it was supposed to be his buddy, is this Frank Lester guy, right? Mm-hmm. And he's all up in the videos. He's all up dancing in the background. Mike Perry's fucking shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
And Cerrone's like, yeah, this was my buddy. You know, we went shooting together. You know, he's come out to the ranch, this and that. You know, he's a pad holder. And he was giving him compliments. And then Frank Lester's over here flipping off the camera. And Mike Perry's, you know, shouting out at the Cowboy Cerrone. Like, he's fucking coming at him. And they know, get Cerrone mad, he ain't going to fight well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It just, it bums me out just because of, I don't know. I like to think maybe Cerrone's a good dude.
It seems like it, but I mean, it could happen to anybody, you know. But the other thing about Cerrone is, like, he's changed the type of person he is. So in his interview with Rogan, he talks about how he had never done a drug, and you know, he hadn't smoked weed, he hadn't done this, he hadn't done that, and now he's going and doing ayahuasca ceremonies, he's eating mushrooms, and he's smoking weed, and he's doing this, and he's doing that. I'm pro anybody who wants to smoke weed. Mm-hmm. I think marijuana should be legal. I think that anybody who wants to do it should do it. I don't do it, you know, but that doesn't mean that I'm against it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly I experimented with drugs when I was younger, and I did probably more mushrooms than most people, but that doesn't mean that I think it's a good idea for everyone to do it. Like, you know, and certainly if you're the type of person who's never done it, why are you going to make this drastic change in your life when you live a regimented life that is important to your career? And so it's hard for me to believe that this mental and spiritual enlightenment has propelled his fighting career, because the evidence shows the opposite. And like,
wait, when did he do the ayahuasca?
Well, I mean,
was this like before, was this just recently,
or well,
was this...
he didn't give a date as to when he did it, okay. But it was after Onnit came around and he got sponsored by Onnit, and he went
with
Marcus from Onnit, and you know, like he went and did an ayahuasca ceremony with them, you know. And And on Rogan's podcast, Joe's like, we should do it together. And he's like, hell yeah.
See,
like,
I thought he recently just did it. And then I was thinking like, oh, this might be a good thing if he's going to fight Mike Perry. But I didn't know this was.
No. Okay. I mean, he's saying he had done it. And then he's saying, now I do mushrooms a bunch now, he says.
Oh.
And like that's fine. But the evidence shows that you're not doing better since that time. Yeah. Unless, of course, you did it like before the John McDessie fight, and you had this you know, you had a killer fight, then you lost to Rafael Dos Anjos, and then you went on a little run where you had your, you know, you had a bunch of finishes, performance of the night, you know, on and on, you know, head kick knockout against Matt Brown. But it's at that point he's forced into becoming a welterweight after the loss to Dos Anjos.
Yeah.
And now he wants to go back to 55 and they won't let him.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, I mean, clearly, but my point is like, you're obviously not feeling well about where you stand. If you're like, man, I had some success at 170, but now I want to move back to 55 because I have four out of my last fights or five fights or losses. And I don't know where I'm going with this. And, you know, you fight a guy like Darren Till, and Darren Till is humongous.
Huge.
And you're like, boy, maybe I shouldn't be fighting at 170, you know? So I imagine there's a lot of psychological, preparation that goes into this for Donald Cerrone, and he seems like kind of a scattered dude.
Yeah.
I kind of think that if I were Donald Cerrone, I would try to, you know, take my camp out, you know, out to Colorado, maybe train with Bang Ludwig or something, because they have
come
the
to
same
Portland.
Kind of... Yeah, come to
he
Portland.
He has a rapport with us already out here.
Yeah, come on out, Donald. Head
so
out.
Your grandma bro. Lives out here, dude. Or at least she used to. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought she was in Denver.
Well, he came out here about 2 years ago. That's when him and Pat linked up.
Oh, that's when him and Healy became buddies.
Because his grandpa passed or was on the way out. So mm-hmm. that's why he was up here for a minute. So, yeah, I mean, we got a nice facility. Rick Story, he might not be a bad sparring partner for Mike Perry.
Yeah.
Come on out, buddy.
Yeah. I'll tweet this at you, Cowboy Cerrone. Don't hate me for anything I said.
He'd probably end up over at Team Quest with Pat Healy, honestly.
Right.
So, which they have nobody. So.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't make sense for him.
No, that'd be stupid.
But nevertheless, man, like he needs to get with somebody who can get on his wavelength and help
him out. And that fight's coming up.
Yeah.
He doesn't have time. Fuck.
Yeah. So
I'm going to tweet
him. You know, we'll see what happens, man. I really, I've been a huge fan of Cowboy Cerrone for a long time, and I want him to do well.
Yeah, me too.
He's always been one of my favorite fighters, and I'll keep watching his fights. Even when he doesn't do well, it's not like BJ Penn sad, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, he lost, but, you know.
Did you hear about BJ?
No.
Oh, the rumor is he's coming back to fight Ryan Hall.
Oh, my God.
Which, you know, it's not a bad matchup.
Yeah, but neither was the one against the German, and he got worked who? Against that guy. What's his name? The guy who does all the spinning kicks.
Not Dennis Seaver. Dennis Seaver beat BJ?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You're fucking with me.
I'm not fucking with you, man.
Bullshit, dude.
You want me to pull it up right now?
Yeah, I don't believe that.
It 100%
what?
Happened, man. I'm telling you. Every matchup for BJ Penn is bad.
Dennis Seaver. That fuck?
Yes, man. I'm telling you. Because they were originally supposed to fight, and then the fight never happened.
Was that
and
a 55 or 45?
And then they wanted to give BJ another chance to have one last fight. And this is after the Yair Rodriguez fight.
Yes, yeah. See, I thought Yair was his last.
And he lost the decision to Dennis Seaver. BJ Penn's last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fights go like this. Draw against John Fitch in a fight that he clearly won, but for some reason it was scored a draw.
Yeah.
He has the decision loss against Nick Diaz. He has the decision loss against Rory McDonald. He had the TKO loss to Frankie Edgar. He had the TKO head kick from Yair Rodriguez. And then he had a decision by Dennis Seaver.
Wow.
He looked like shit.
He lost a decision to Rory?
Yeah, dude. But Rory, remember Rory was out there shuffling his feet, dancing, showboating?
Dude, I don't even remember that fight.
He had the win against.
I remember
Matt
the
Hughes,
Nick Diaz
but he
fight.
Had two straight losses to Frankie Edgar. You know
the fuck, man. I remember that Diaz fight well because that mm-hmm. I remember watching it and being really pumped about it because of the boxing, and that first round was really good for BJ.
Yeah, but BJ's boxing never evolved.
If you watch,
used to be so good, and then it never evolved.
Well, if you watch, it's cardio, dude. You got. He just gassed out against Nick.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was, at that first round, he was beating Nick up.
Yeah, well, BJ Penn's
fighting him.
If fights were 5 minutes, BJ Penn might win every fight he ever
might
fought.
Be undefeated.
But that's not what happens. And it's the same thing with Joe Lauzon. Joe Lauzon is amazing for one round in a lot of fights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of fights that he lost because he couldn't finish in the first round and a half, you know?
Yeah.
But... You know, I mean, I'm the number one BJ Penn fan. BJ Penn, but he should not come back and fight. He absolutely should not.
How
come back
old is
and fight.
He? How old is he?
He's getting a little bit older.
38.
No, he's 39.
Oh, okay, that's
so
close.
You know,
yeah,
old
yeah,
enough to not be fighting
for sure. Stop.
Don't
dude.
Come back, BJ.
Needs money,
but that's ridiculous. He doesn't need money.
No?
No, his family's well off. He's got the UFC gym.
Oh, yeah, he came
Hawaii.
From a rich family,
he's doing
huh?
All right. Yeah. He's
yeah,
doing
fuck
fine.
You,
he
BJ.
Need the money.
You fuck. Stop.
But he loves to
you
fight.
You just ruined your legacy.
Nah.
What is he? What's his record? 16 and 13?
16 and 10 or something. I don't know. Something like that. Do we really need to know?
I mean, no, but
you were pretty close. 16, 12 and 2.
Yep. Stop it.
You know what I mean? It's funny because I think about him and then you think about other dudes from that era. Mm-hmm. You know who was really good and people forget about him all the time? Mock Sakurai. From Pride. Do you not remember Mock Sakurai? He fought in the UFC for a little while, but man, he was super good.
Really?
If you have Fight Pass and you want to go watch some incredible fights, go watch Mock Sakurai. He had a bunch of incredible fights, man.
Do you have one in particular?
Now you're gonna call me out on the spot. He had an incredible fight against Gomi. He actually had a couple fights against Gomi. He had
really?
A couple good fights against Royal Shonen. He had fuck man, that You're killing me here, Jake.
Yeah, well, you know, guys, go look that up. We get it. You don't have to look it up, dude.
Well, now I want to know.
Okay. All right. I just thought maybe you had one offhand. You're like, that was a dope fight.
It's been a while. I watched a couple of his fights the other day, actually. Hiyota Sakurai. So he actually had, like, in the late 90s and early 2000s, he had a lot of really killer fights. Like, he fought Jens Pulver, he fought Shinya Aoki, he fought Hellboy, Joaquin Hansen.
Yeah, I remember that dude.
He had a couple fights against Gomi. He had a killer knockout of Mac Danzig at Pride 33. Yeah, man, he's got a bunch of good fights. He fought, do you know who he fought? So this dude is 5'8", 155 pound fighter. He fought Phil Baroni. He fought Nick Diaz. I mean, he'd fight anybody. He's a fun fighter to watch. He fought Jake Shields, Matt Hughes, all kinds of people. Fought Anderson Silva.
Really?
Yeah, and actually, at one point in time, Anderson Silva said that Mark Sakurai was his hardest fight to date.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And he's a 55er.
And he came to the UFC for a little bit?
He was in the UFC early. He was in the UFC for like one fight and he lost. It was, he came over and he lost to Matt Hughes.
Oh.
You know, but whatever. Anyway, he was a good fighter. But I think about his legacy, and this dude had 53 fights, you know, but his record ended up being 38-13-2. So like, I think a BJ Penn is like a Hall of Famer, right? But yeah. Mark Sakurai did way more than BJ Penn ever did.
Yeah.
And like, I love BJ Penn.
It's weird, man. There's a lot of guys who like float underneath the radar just because they weren't, you know, huge in the UFC.
Yeah, totally, man. You know? Or like a guy like Takanori Gomi, people think like, oh, because he had this horrible run at the end of his career in the UFC, like they don't consider all the stuff he did before. Yeah. And even he is 36-15.
Yeah.
So like, he had so many other fights. He I did. Mean, granted, these guys in Japan, they fought a lot of dudes that are
not, so-so.
Yeah. That are so-so. But he did a lot of his fighting in the early 2000s when it was the wild, wild west, you know? Yeah. So
I almost wish I was around for that era, you know?
Yeah.
I almost would have preferred being a fighter back then.
Right.
I mean, you know, the pay is shit, but. Well, that's hard to say because, like, sometimes you hear, you're like, well, back in the day for a regional show, they would pay you fucking a lot because, I don't know.
Weren't as many people doing it, man.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know. I'm just want money.
Yeah, who doesn't? I want money too.
Yeah. I feel like that would, it would just seem more pure, you know? Like, today, you got the whole fucking Logan Paul thing going now. That's upsetting.
That is the stupidest shit.
It's so upsetting.
If you retweet anything about Logan Paul fighting in the UFC, I'm going to unfollow you.
Yeah, go fuck off.
Stop retweeting that bullshit.
Seriously, we already did the fucking one freak circus act with CM Punk, okay? We tried it out. It was a flop.
Yeah, dude, but at least CM Punk had been like training jiu-jitsu like for a while. Like, at least he had that going for him. Like,
I mean, at least that's what he said because he didn't show it.
Well, clearly. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, he went out and he got with a real fight team. The fucking Logan Paul. Give me a goddamn break.
Yeah, I don't know who. I don't feel like. I don't know. He says that he has a wrestling background or whatever. I don't care, all right? You're not coming to the. The UFC legitimately gives this fucking guy a chance and they're looking for a fight again. I am straight up boycotting everything that is UFC. I'm saying this on record now. That means I will not watch my friends fight. I will not go to corner my friends. I will not have anything to do with the UFC. I will be 1000% done with them.
It's so crazy, dude. It's so ridiculous. Like, it was ridiculous enough when they would bring in, you know, they would bring in like a boxer. Like, okay, we know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Who was it that they put up against Randy Couture?
Fucking James Toney.
Like, yeah. Okay, we all knew where that was going.
It was stupid. Like, let's put one of our best wrestlers against a guy who's never wrestled before, ever.
Not only one of our best wrestlers, at the time, one of the best fighters on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, good idea.
They should have signed Ray Mercer.
Yeah, right.
I think he would have done better.
They should have fucking Mayweather would be better. Anybody with some speed would be better.
Than James Toney?
James Toney. Fat old James Toney.
Yeah.
Slow ass, fat ass James Toney.
Fucking punchy James Toney.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather see Roy Jones out there. I'd rather see a lot of people out there than James Toney, but That's beside the point. Yeah. At least James Toney had a professional fighting background. I don't need to see goddamn Logan Paul do anything. And to all you idiots who paid any money to watch him do anything on the internet.
I know.
I hope you all go fucking bankrupt, you stupid idiots.
You watched.
You just
straight up.
Like, you just gave money to some to this kid. Like, are you?
Yeah, you just gave all this money to these guys who just had it a fucking an exhibition sparring match.
Hey, you know what? I will get an internet beef going with anybody.
Yeah.
If you want to pay pay-per-view, you know, to watch me fight someone, I'll fucking fight Jake. I don't care.
Yeah,
Jake and I are gonna fight. If you guys want to pay us, if you want to pay us $10, fucking and buy however many pay-per-views of this you're gonna buy, we will fight. Shit, we'll fight naked if you pay us enough money.
Ah, well.
No, come on.
Hmm.
Let's do it. It'll be disgusting and weird, and everyone will want to pay.
I don't know, man. I feel like we're going to lose buys that way.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, no one wants to see that.
Diapers?
No.
That'd be funny.
Be funny, but still, that's a fetish thing now.
Oh, okay.
Now we're talking about camp, like a webcam show.
Can we get that fetish?
Like, we might as well just say, fuck this podcast. Let's start a webcam show and have people fucking start donating us money every time we take off our diaper.
That's a great idea.
We could make a lot of money that way, legitimately.
Could. Mm-hmm.
Just not the path of career I want to go down.
Yeah.
I don't.
Me neither, but I could use some of that fetish money.
You know, there's times, like, you ever see those fucking, those food videos?
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, they whisper into the mic, and then it's like,
yeah.
Fucking drives me nuts, but I wish I was them.
What's that dude's name? He goes out and he tests all the fast food. Oh man, he's so funny. There's this big black guy. He goes out and he like buys fast food.
I've seen his videos. I have no idea who he is.
Like when he gets a burger, if it has too much sauce on it, he'll be like, "They hit me with that oo-wop." Smear it off. Like people pay this guy to go out and eat fast food. He was on fucking Rachel Ray.
It's
like
crazy.
Like, man, the internet.
People just
is so
find
weird.
These fucking niches and then they just know how to make money off of it.
Yeah. Well, stop paying Logan Paul money. Stop giving him money.
Him and his brother, like, what do you...
His brother does something, too?
His brother fought on the card, too. Jake Paul.
Oh, my God.
And he called out Chris Brown next.
Well, yeah, I'm they're for the, anyone beating up Chris Brown.
They're both the biggest douches ever.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, that's enough of that.
Sure is. I can't believe we talked about it that long.
Yeah, it was gross.
I'm ashamed of myself. Can we cut that out?
We can cut out part of it.
Okay, so what else is going on in MMA world?
Well, last night, Invicta 31 went down.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of your teammates fought and had an incredible fight. So big ups to Lisa the Strangler Spangler.
Which they need to change that fucking name. That's stupid.
She is
You don't strangle anybody.
She's not out there strangling folks.
Yeah.
She's out there throwing just...
Cool, it rhymes. Who cares? Move on.
Yeah.
You know? Like, your name's not going to be Spangler forever anyways, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So, let's get on a new fucking nickname.
Something.
So, like, I say we should have intervention with her on her nickname. Or, like, you know, just sit her down and be like, listen.
I feel like it should be D&D related because she's into it, so
is
that
she?
Would be fine.
I mean, I'm not versed in that world, so I can't help out with the name there.
Well, I mean, there's a whole number of things we could call her, so it would work out okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, she had a great fight last night. She won fight of the night in her performance. She got kicked in the face and got her nose broken early, most likely.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't confirm broken nose, but the amount of blood said broken nose. Yeah. Although one time I wrote a piece on a fight and this kid had his nose just exploded. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was blood everywhere. And I've seen a lot of fights, like, up close, you know, cage side. And this is the most blood I've seen come out of someone's nose.
Yeah.
And I wrote, so-and-so suffered through an obviously broken nose. And the guy totally hit me up on Twitter, was like, yo, my nose didn't get broken. And I was like, are you sure? He's like, yep, my nose isn't broken. I'm like, you know, it kind of looks broken. And he's like, nope, didn't break it. Like,
did he go to the doctor though?
See, that's what I'm wondering is
I'm
like
saying no.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no too. I'm gonna say a paramedic looked at him and was like, yeah, it looks okay.
Yeah. Like, yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's official. But yeah, Lisa looked like she got her nose broken last night. She got kicked in the face, but did not even like it didn't even faze her a little bit.
She's a monster, dude.
Yeah, dude. And so in this fight, she was awarded a split decision. which is bullshit.
Well,
it was clearly she won the fight, and I like
that's what I've seen a lot of people tweet that too. They're like, hopefully they get it right, because I guess there was a couple of fucked up judges calls or no?
Yeah, there were. But okay. Here's what I'd like to say about it. Big ups to the judge who scored this fight 30-27 for Lisa for not letting the blood and the couple of kicks that landed get the best of you.
Yeah,
because Lisa dominated the rounds. Like, she outstruck her, she won positionally, she put her against the cage, she got her down a couple of times. Like she clearly won this fight 30-27, and she got a 30-27, 29-28, and then the other one was 29-28 for the other fighter. But that is not what happened. It was clear to me that she won the fight. I think it was clear to the commentary team that she won the fight. And after the fight, they're interviewing her, and in a way that only Lisa Spangler can. They said, "So what do you think's next for you?" And she says, "I don't know. Whatever Invicta wants, you know. Whatever. Maybe a title shot. I don't know."
Oh my god!
And the commentary's like, boy, that was like the sweetest call out for a title shot ever. But here's the best part. Sarah Kaufman, their champ at 135 pounds, says to her on Twitter, at Spangler MMA, "You want a title shot? Are you sure? Because you don't sound sure." But then she says, "Invicta, make it happen."
That would be
pretty awesome.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I'd be crazy.
I retweeted it I retweeted it and said, "Roll for initiative." That's a D&D joke for you D&D nerds out there. But I thought Lisa would appreciate that, even though she rarely checks her Twitter. So
yeah, I'm sure someone else runs it. Is this her third fight? She took that one on short notice.
She did on short notice. She's
great. I don't know who that girl was that she fought. Was that girl like heavily ranked or anything?
No. But she was that girl was a good fighter, but she was coming off a long layoff. I think a couple year layoff. But okay. I think maybe a little early for a title shot. Like,
yeah, I would say get a couple more. Sarah Kaufman is fucking, that's a bite.
Yeah, right. Sarah Kaufman is a huge step up in competition. I'm not saying Lisa can't handle it. I'm just saying like that's a different kind of fight.
And she's a legit 135, right?
Yeah, she's big at 135, and Lisa could potentially fight at 125 if she pushed it.
I can see Fabiano having that talk with her soon.
Yeah, maybe.
So he's been really pushing hard on people to drop down weight classes lately. And I'm kind of like, hey man, I don't know. Some people, you're pushing it.
Don't worry about it. He's not going to push you. You already did it.
I have a feeling that 145 is going to come up soon, and I'm gonna tell you, Daddy ain't doing.
Mm-mm.
Daddy ain't doing. Daddy going to 70. Daddy going back. He going back up.
I feel like 55 is the right spot for you.
Ah, well, you know.
That last cut you had looked pretty good.
Yeah, but, you know, this thing is a lot of people don't realize how much work that was. It was a lot of work. Don't want to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to do that
right now.
We
just talked about this whole, like, not being this disciplined guy.
And yeah.
Let's go with that. I'm going the Cerrone route.
But look at the power you had at 55. Looked pretty good, right? You felt good about that? I mean,
maybe. Or that guy just has a shitty chin.
Quick work. I don't know, man. He's had other fights. He's looked pretty good in quite a few other fights. So.
I do hit like a fucking Mack truck. Can I say? Pretty good at my craft, sir. No, I'm just kidding. I was just fucking around. I'll probably stay at 55, unfortunately. People have actually been messaging me and been like, "You should go back up to 170. I'm like, why?
Let me get my hip right and then get a
first
fight
off,
before.
Yeah. First off, let me heal up there, guy. Secondly, I don't know what made you want to text me this at fucking midnight, which is weird. Uh-huh. So like, I legitimately got a text like at midnight, and I was going back and forth. And I was like, "Listen, I don't really think you realize how big 170s are,
dude." I go back to when you fought Joey Parati, and
yeah,
kid is pretty big, man.
Did you know he made 55?
I know he made 55, but he's big.
Yeah, like, he made 55, and then he got fucking worked at 55 because
too much of a cut.
And
so he's fighting. He's actually fighting Austin Vandefort,
and he fucked up because he's been avoiding Vandefort. This is the thing. This fight's been tried to be made four different times
because
every time it happens, Vandefort comes to me and asks me all these questions, and then Parati doesn't take it.
Yeah,
and I honestly didn't really have too much of an issue with Parati before me and him fought, but after we fought, like, he can go fuck himself. Fuck that guy. Because afterwards, they were talking all this shit. I was like, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, they were coming at me as if I came at them before the fight. Never said anything bad about him, ever. Yeah. So, he can go fuck himself, his dad can go fuck himself, and fuck his mom. Throwing it out there.
In case you wanted to know.
In case you wanted to know. On the Paratis. You can eat my dick. I'll fight him again. I don't care.
Yeah, but he was big.
He is huge. That was the thing. Yeah, he was just too big. That's why I dropped down to 55.
Yeah.
You know, it's a frame thing. And I think that's where Lisa's gonna, you know.
Yeah.
I think she's strong as fuck. She's a very athletic girl.
Dude, and she hits hard.
She does. That was the thing I hated going with her. Like, you know, when you're drilling or thing, like, typically girls suck to drill with. Sexist, don't care. Cause they, a lot of people, even smaller guys will sometimes do this. They'll, try to make up for the fact that they're going with a bigger partner or a male partner. So they just initially they're just going to drill you.
Yeah. Right?
I don't know if people realize, but getting punched regardless hurts.
Yeah.
Lisa is aggressive in everything she does. When she wrestles, she's 100%. Grapples, 100%. Even just drilling combos, 100%. You know, so
yeah,
she's gonna be a monster, dude.
Yeah, in this fight, if she could work on anything, I would say head movement and maybe lateral movement a little bit. She was only moving to one side, and I would have liked to see her move side to side a little bit more. But when she had her most success was when she was on the inside punching. So for her, she wanted to come forward. I totally get it. And her jab was landing a lot. Like, she could have maybe doubled up on her jab. She could have thrown a few more combinations, because she landed a gorgeous combination where she hit a left hook to this girl's body. Mm. And it didn't, you know, give her that crumpled reaction. Yeah. But you could see it slowed her for like a half second.
Tightened her up.
Yeah, tightened her up. And instead of going back to that, Lisa was trying to go to this uppercut, which was fine. I mean, I couldn't hear her corner, so it was hard for me to hear what was happening.
Yeah.
You know, Fabiano's not the easiest guy to hear in someone's corner. And Ian, I couldn't hear either. She had Ian King with them as well. So, but good fight for her. And I hope to see her, you know, continue being successful with Invicta. Yeah. I think maybe a title shot now is a little bit early.
I think it's early too. I'd hope. Like to
see her get two more wins.
Yeah, I'd like her to not rush this process. She's still young. She's young as fuck.
22.
Yeah, she's young and she has time. Don't rush it. I just really hope they don't rush it, because that's how a lot of careers get fucked up, man. You know, I mean, they get shot out of the gate. They're on this roll, and then everyone's just like, oh shit, their deck's coming, Christ.
Oh, Paige Van Zandt.
Yeah. You know? I mean, amongst others too, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just one of those things, man. I really think deep down she's going to be a star if brought up correctly.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, absolute worst case scenario, she's like a star for Invicta.
Yeah,
I think that's like worst case scenario for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, best case scenario, she comes to Bellator or the UFC and does really well.
Yeah, she's going to get signed by the UFC for sure, I think.
Yeah, but assuming she can, you know, move forward and continue to get wins. I feel like going against Sarah Kaufman, I'm not saying that she can't win that fight.
Yeah.
I'm just saying Sarah Kaufman has she has a ton of fights. She's fought
the who's who.
Yeah, and absolutely everyone. Yeah. I mean, she's been to the UFC. She's back. She goes back to Invicta, you know, just immediately secures a title. Like, she's no joke.
Former Strikeforce champion.
Yeah, I'm not saying she can't beat her. I'm just saying right now, like, she's going to be a huge underdog.
It's one of those fights where, let's say she does go out there, right? And she does well against Sarah. She beats her. Well, now you're getting tossed into just the wolves, right?
Yep.
135 is, that's the premier weight class for women.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a matter of us not thinking she can't win. It's just a matter of now what happens after if she does win, right? Now you're getting these other matchups where you still have your amateur tendencies. You still have, you know. And then that you can seriously get hurt that way, or you're going to get a beating that's going to break your confidence. You know, there's different things that can happen that people don't fucking consider for fighters. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of this is mental, you know?
Yeah.
And if you get thrown out there against these guys and you go out there and you take a beating, you know, it's going to fuck with you, even though it's just a one loss. Like, you can bounce. It's just, I don't know. I just don't want to see something stupid happen because people are trying to make money off of Lisa, you know?
Yeah, that would be pretty whack. That would not be awesome. You know, so she's 3-0 as a pro, but the other thing to remember is she's on a, what is it, 11 fight win streak. If you mm-hmm. go back to her amateur career, like, yeah.
Which I think is stupid when people count their amateurs with their pro stuff.
I'm not counting it in terms of wins and losses. I'm counting it in terms of how long it's been since she's lost a fight.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. You know what I mean? Like that's something to consider. Like, if you're not emotionally prepared to take a loss, like, yeah. and then you do, you know, when you have nothing but success, I mean, think about Sunshine, you know, like, obviously it was not an easy thing for him. And I think that Lisa would handle it better than a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
but that yeah. doesn't, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that she's immune to being bummed out from losing. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So, you know, something to consider, but big ups to Lisa. Great for fight, sure. Fight of the night. I hope they gave you a bonus. And if they didn't, let's tell me so I can pester them and be like, give her some money.
Yeah, man. Sometimes, you know, promotions will be like, oh, that was fight of the night, and you won't get shit for it. I got that twice from King of the Cage, so I was pissed about that.
I hope she gets some money or something, because she fought her ass off, and that's, you know, that's two fights in a row for Invicta that she whooped ass. So.
Yep, and she did the company a favor. Mm-hmm. So, now yep. you guys owe her.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, one more thing to cover before we get out of here for this week. This coming weekend, Saturday night, UFC 228, we have the return of Tyron Woodley as he takes on Darren Till.
Tyquil.
For the UFC welterweight championship. Interesting card. I was kind of hating on this card.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I was looking at it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a sleeper card.
Yeah, it's like me and you were talking about before, you know, we started recording. You were pointing out, like, you think this is kind of a fuck you to Tyron Woodley.
Oh, it's absolutely a fuck yeah. you to Tyron Woodley. They put a bunch of people that nobody know on this card on purpose because yeah. they don't want Tyron Woodley to get all the pay-per-view points because he's not been a company man.
Yeah.
Even though, I mean, they keep him in the broadcast booth. I mean, they seem to like him sort of.
He might have finagled that into his contract or something. You
yeah,
know?
Potentially.
I mean, that's what what's his name? It's not O'Malley.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
You're talking about
the Irish Dragon or whatever?
From PFL?
Oh, no. Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Sean O'Connor or some shit like that.
O'Conley.
O'Conley, that's what it is. Yeah, homeboy, what he did for PFL is he worked it into his contract that they allow him to do broadcasting.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, I mean, I don't know if Woodley might have done that too. I mean, after I heard that, I was like, that's a fucking baller move.
Gilbert Melendez did it.
Did he?
Hell yeah, he did.
That is smart. I'm going to make notes.
Yeah, make notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, be like, I get to work commentary with my buddy who does this podcast with me.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You guys are going to open up our own little talk show on the DAZN app.
Yeah, on DAZN. I would love to do something for DAZN. Hit me up, Bellator.
Yeah.
Where are you guys at?
Oh, side note real quick. Speaking of DAZN, they did they posted a thing about Bellator fighters. Like, it was, you know, Jay Archuleta, Roy Nelson, and a couple other guys who have beards, right? Like, who has the best beard in MMA? And, you know, I went out, I was like, me. And then DAZN, and then Chris Sunshine, he commented, like, agreed or something. And then DAZN's like, you got a point, you're right. I was like, goddamn right. And I tagged everyone that was in. I was like, see that? That's fucking right. Respect.
You should post a picture of you and then your dad and be like, these are the genes that I have. Like, I can't help but have this beard.
I just got beards, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. But anyway, so back to Woodley. Sorry.
Yeah. So this fight, the co-main event is Nico Montano versus Valentina Shevchenko. And Nico is the women's flyweight champion. She basically got the title through the Ultimate Fighter, where they did this tournament to crown a champion. Mm-hmm. But then she never fought. So
I like her story though. I like that how she was a number 14th coming into the tournament.
Yeah,
and, you know, I mean, she did beat up what's her name, who I don't think is very good, but you like her a lot. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure she's a nice person.
She's a cool person, and she's gotten way better at fighting. Like she's improved a lot. I mean, obviously she's not going to win the title.
No.
And the person that Nico was supposed to fight couldn't make weight. So
is that what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like
Eubanks. What's her first name? I don't remember her first name. Her last name's Eubanks, and she couldn't make weight. She just like struggled to make weight, and then didn't get to fight for the title. But anyway, she wins it on the show. But that was December of 2017, so we're closing in on 2 years. You know, over a year and a half since Nico has fought last.
No, it's been a year.
It's going to be... Oh, yeah,
December,
yeah.
December 2017.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're closing in on a year since she's fought. Yeah. So she fought in December of 2017. I get that. Yeah. A year. I'm sorry. It's been a while. And so she hasn't defended the belt, you know. I don't know. I mean, she's 4-2. Like...
What?
Yeah.
Ah, fuck.
So it's like, I want to be excited for her, but she's about to fight Valentina Shevchenko.
I don't know if you noticed, the UFC does more promoting of Valentina. Like, if you would have asked anybody, you would have asked me, I would have guessed she was the champion.
Oh, yeah.
Because I see her, like, you know, in commercials and shit here and there, or little promo ads and stuff with her little folded arm and crazy dancing shit she does. But I didn't even know who this other chick was.
Until she's had one fight in the UFC.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm all for her, you know, like coming in and doing well. But here's the thing, like Valentina Shevchenko has, since 2011, she's lost two fights. Mm-hmm. She's 15-3. You know who she's lost to?
Joanna.
No. Amanda Nunes. Twice. And one of them was a split decision.
Duh, I forgot she was like 35 and she dropped to 125.
And now she's dropping to 125. And you take the champion who people are in love with the distance and get a split decision, and you already beat Juliana Pena, Holly Holm, Sarah Kaufman. Like,
she beat did. God
so,
damn.
So I'm saying, like, Nico, good luck.
I mean, she should do.
I'm sorry.
Like, she should hit up Carla Esparza and be like, hey, how did you handle this? Because she's literally what Carla Esparza was for 115. Oh, you come in, cool, you're champion, whatever, here's Joanna. Boom, you get fucked up. And now she's kind of like middle of the pack.
Yeah, but Carla Esparza had like 10 times the fights that she
had.
Yeah,
that's true.
Like, Carla Esparza had way more experience than her.
125 in general is fucking, it's going to be garbage.
I'm just saying, man, like, this, I mean, I'm happy for her that she won the belt, but I'm sorry that she had to spend the last year not defending it and not getting any promotion, because now she's going to get in there and, hell, they probably make her walk out first.
Yeah.
Not really, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, for sure.
So that's the co-main event, and, like, no one's excited about that fight. No. Like, I mean, there's a handful of people who are, but, like, across the board, people aren't clamoring to see that fight. And then you have a couple other fights on the card with people that like hardcores know, you know, like hardcore fight fans know. There's Zabit, that guy that Joe Rogan's really high on, Zabit Magomed Sharapov. he's fighting Brandon Davis, and then Jessica Andrade is fighting Karolina Kovalkiewicz, which will be a great fight. I like to see that fight, but again, like, probably Jessica Andrade is maybe the...
She's going to ragdoll her.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Karolina's a really good fighter, but I'm saying, like, out of the two, I mean, people know who Jessica Andrade is, but, like, a lot of people don't know who Karolina Kovalkiewicz is.
I mean,
Nico Price is fighting Abdul Razak Al... That's how you say that?
Yeah.
Al Hassan. Sorry, man. I'm terrible
at pronouncing names. Don't be sorry. Change your name.
but he's a good fighter. He's a good fighter, but like, realistically, like, that card is not, like, people aren't like, oh, I want to spend $65 on that card.
Yeah.
Like, no one's jumping up and down to watch Tyron Woodley fight.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not buying it.
No, absolutely not. As I said before, if I just so happen to be on the internet and, like, I come across a website that it happens to be playing, like, I might watch it. You know, I'm just saying. Like,
I might gander at it.
I don't know. Well, you might watch it. I might watch it. But Tyron Woodley, Darren Till, it's gonna only go one of two ways. Like, Tyron Woodley, well, I guess, like, it could be three ways. Like, Tyron Woodley could always knock you out. Like, yeah. He's got knockout power, but I don't see him knocking out Darren Till. I do see him trying to, like, you know, take him down and hold him down and maybe ground a pound, but...
You know, I wouldn't be... Don't be surprised if he does catch him with an overhand. Because the way Till holds his hands and the way that his stance is, yeah. He's like Steven, like Wonderboy, right? Wonderboy, yeah. But he keeps his hands low. Wonderboy's a little quicker than he is, right? In and out. So that's why, and Tyrone was still able to land that big punch, right? Which, you know, everyone's like, but yeah, but Till's a bigger guy, but that also means he's slower, right?
Yeah.
He's a bigger guy, but I mean, if Tyrone's threatening takedowns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Takedown, I'm on your legs, Lower my elevation, bah, come over top.
Yeah.
It's night-night.
I still feel like Darren Till has the advantage striking.
Yeah.
Like, I have to believe that.
But he's going to be on, he's gonna have to keep himself honest.
Yeah, most likely.
Because just the way that he throws, he leaves himself.
Yeah.
It's just that I just think a lot of people are intimidated to get inside on him.
Yeah.
Is the issue.
I think Till... The other thing is, I think people want Till to be this like cold-blooded killer finisher, but he's a smart fighter. Like if he knows he's not going to win by knocking you out, he's not going to just like hunt to knock you out. And so like this could go five rounds of him just kind of, you know, peppering Woodley if Woodley can't get that overhand right and can't get him down. You know, whatever.
It'll be interesting to see.
I'm interested to see this fight. That's a good fight to watch. I want to see that. Like, you know,
Till lost in the UFC.
Mm,
I want to say, he had like a close fight with someone, Leon Edwards.
Well, I mean, he had the fight with Wonder Boy. People say that was a pretty close fight.
Well, yeah.
But he's never lost. I mean, he's 17-0.
Oh, is he undefeated?
Let me look. Yeah, he's 17-0-1. He had
one
a draw.
Who's the draw?
With Nicholas Dalby.
Okay, never mind.
A majority draw. Okay. So, but it was fight of the night.
I was thinking he had like a really tough fight with that Edwards dude. Did they even fight each other?
Mm-mm.
Then who am I thinking of? I don't
know. No. He fought Donald Cerrone, and it wasn't...
Yeah, I know he fought Cerrone.
Donald Cerrone. But he's got a lot of people on his record that don't have Wikipedia pages. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Like 13 guys in a row, people that you don't know.
Okay.
But he fought them all in Brazil, so...
Yeah, it's kind of weird, and he has like a Brazilian background.
Yeah, but that's cool, you know? Not getting like a ton of easy fights in Brazil.
No.
Generally. But yeah, so that'll be a fun fight. I'm excited to see that fight. You know, on the rest of the card, there's a few good fights on here. Aljamain Sterling's fighting Cody Stammen. I want to see that fight.
I've never been a Sterling fan.
I'm not a huge fan of his, but I'd still like to see the fight. I mean, yeah. It's a good matchup. A couple of good young bantamweights. And then Jimmy Rivera is fighting John Dodson. That's a dangerous fight for Jimmy Rivera.
Yeah, I think Rivera's going to get knocked out. I think he's coming back too soon after that last one. And Dodson's too fast. He's fast.
And Marlon Moraes busted him up with that kick. That was brutal.
It was a nasty knockout. So I think his team should have been a little bit more cautious. But, you know, I guess when you're that guy, you're just like, fuck, I got to rebound, you know?
Yeah. Here's something interesting. If I had to tell you that two well-known UFC veterans were on the early UFC Fight Pass prelims, one is a welterweight and one is a lightweight, who would you think?
What weight are they fighting?
One is welterweight and one is lightweight.
Are they fighting each other is what I'm asking. Okay. Mm-mm. That's I thought it was a matchup.
No.
And they're well-known?
Very well-known.
They're not ranked.
Probably not. One of them might be.
Carlos Condit?
No, but close.
Okay.
Diego Sanchez.
Oh, okay.
Fighting on the Fight Pass prelims against Craig White. He doesn't have it doesn't have a Wikipedia page, but I wonder if it's the Craig White who used to fight for Bellator. I don't know. Maybe. And then Jim Miller also fighting on this card.
Oh.
Okay. Jim Miller is always in a fight. Like,
see, if you would have told me that it was a lightweight and a former lightweight who is now welterweight, it would have been a little bit closer.
Yeah, whatever.
But
still, good guess though. Carlos Condit, you know, Diego Sanchez.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of fun. They're both on this card. Frank Camacho's on the Fight Pass prelims.
Diego Sanchez should never fight again.
Yeah, Diego Sanchez should probably stop fighting.
He's been punchy for the last 5 years.
Oh, he's been punchy for a long time. Not to mention, he seemed kind of dumb even before he was punchy.
Yeah, but he's gotten even more weird. And, like, I saw some videos of him in Russia. Like, I came across some random Russian fighter, and he was somehow hanging out with Diego Sanchez, and he had all these videos of Diego, like, doing, like, he's, like, all the time thinking about fighting. He's, like, fighting in the streets. He's, like, like, doing all this crazy fucking shit. And he's, like, doing sprints and... Like, in the middle of Russia, like, it's night out. And like, the Russians are like, they're just laughing at him. And he's doing all this weird shit.
Do you remember when Diego Sanchez, like, he left Jackson's, mm-hmm. and he went to, like, I think it was, like, yes. San Diego. Yes. And he started doing the yes cartwheels and yes. shit. And everything yes. was yes.
Yes.
Like, it was so ridiculous. The UFC did, a little video package of him somewhere. And he's literally doing cartwheels down a hill saying yes after every cartwheel. Yes. Like. Yeah.
He's on the spectrum 100%.
Dude, he's everybody's a little bit something, and he's somewhere, man.
Will say, great, great man for the community. I don't know if you've seen his work he's done with the guy with Down syndrome.
No.
You haven't? Mm. Oh, it's great. He trains with this guy every day at the gym. He comes in, and they even had like a fight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Diego Sanchez fought him, like, in front of a crowd, and, you know, mm-hmm. obviously Diego lost because... Dave yeah, sucks. No, just kidding. But no, man, I think that I just wanted people to know that. That's one thing they know about Diego Sanchez, besides him being a fucking punchy weirdo guy. He seems like a cool dude.
That's good.
Yeah. And he talked a lot of shit on Donald Cerrone, too. I don't know. I was going to ask you about that earlier if you saw that.
He had some shit to say.
Yeah.
But I take everything Diego says with a grain of salt. You know what I mean? He's a little weird. But that's cool that he's being awesome in his community, and yeah, you know, that's good.
Yeah, I really like stuff like that.
Reminds me of Nate Corey.
Yeah. I got to call that. That was fun.
That was awesome. Yeah, it was
my first calling.
Yeah, I saw that. That kid was at
Jake.
Yeah, he was at one of the more recent FCFFs. I got to meet him. Yeah,
that's nice pretty guy. Cool. Yeah. That's neat. Yeah, I wish I wanted to do something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, I should call him out.
Yeah, that kid that you train with sometimes, you could have a fight with him.
Lad. Well, I mean, I think Lad is wise enough to know that it's not a real fight. So
make it a little more real. It's okay. It'll be all right.
I'll talk some shit to him. So like, the fuck, Lad? What's that shit about? Yeah, it's Lad, and then another kid named Jack, who was disabled.
Yeah,
couldn't
Lad is autistic.
Yeah.
Lad is a kid that Jake trains with sometimes. He has autism, and Jake's done some training with him and stuff. And
yeah,
he seems to really love doing it and love hanging out with Jake. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a cool kid.
Jake's a humanitarian, for all you who don't know.
I don't even know what that is, but
he goes out and he helps out some homeless people.
You know,
sometimes.
I try. I really do.
He's a good guy.
I wish I could do more, but you know,
you do more than me. So
well, yeah,
I respect it, man.
Hey, thanks, bud.
Yeah,
this got weird.
Off the silly train onto the serious train. Let's hop back onto the real quick before we're
wrapping up right now.
Yeah.
I was gonna say we need to make picks.
Okay. All right. That's what I was going back to. I was going back to 228. So circling back, UFC 228.
Hey.
Let's go with the. I mean, I guess we could just do the main and the co-main if you want.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like...
Let's do the three.
Yeah. Let's do three.
The two girls and the main.
Okay, cool. So, Jessica Andrade, Karolina Kovalkiewicz.
It's a tough one.
Tough one now. Earlier, you were like, yeah, she's going to ragdoll her.
I still think Andrade is going to ragdoll her. But, I mean, that Poliszczyk does have some pretty good striking.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I got Andrade ragdolling.
Yeah, I would normally, I want to lean towards Kovalkiewicz because I feel like she's probably only worked takedown defense, and I don't think she would allow Andrade to strike. You know, put her up against a cage and mm-hmm. do that Wanderlei Silva thing that she does.
Yeah.
But man, she did get worked by Claudia Gadelha. It's tough, but. Just to be, I don't know. I feel like she has to have just worked her wrestling enough. So I would go with Kovalkiewicz in this one.
Okay.
I'm I feel like it's a dangerous pick, but okay. One that I'm okay with.
And then obviously we both have the same here. What's I can't even pronounce her name.
Nico Montano.
Yeah, well, not the other one. The other one.
Valentina Shevchenko. How come I can pronounce her name and Karolina Kovalkiewicz's name, but I can't pronounce Abdul Razak Al Hassan's name easily?
That is very easy to answer.
The harder one is
it's because you're racist.
Well, inherently, right?
You only like, you know, the upper echelon of white people, and that's why you can pronounce their names better. And you have a bald head.
Hey,
therefore, I'm just connecting dots here. I'm not saying you might be a white supremacist.
I said Aljamain Sterling's name, right?
You did.
I even called him by his nickname earlier. Aljo, come on.
Okay, all right. You're down.
John Dodson said his name fine.
You're down with the blacks. I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, all right.
Look, Zabit Magomed Sharapov. I want to say Sharapovov for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But that's a hard one, too. Anyway, Valentina Shevchenko, Nico Montano.
I'm going Montano.
Sure. Gamble.
I'm going for the home run here. Flying triangle. Second round.
I'm going for Valentina Shevchenko knocks her out.
Yeah, TKO.
Second round. If not the first round. Yeah. I feel like it's going to be an unfair fight. I feel like it's going to be
I think it's going to be finished.
And I haven't looked up the odds, but I bet you Valentina Shevchenko is like a minus 625.
Yeah,
favorite.
I was going to say like a minus 750 or something. Yeah. Yeah, I got Shevchenko too.
Here's the tough one. Tyron Woodley, the champion, Tyron Woodley versus Darren Till.
It's going to be, Till's going to win.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, here's why. Woodley's been out for a minute, and I feel like he's been very, very diva-ish.
He always has been, though.
Yeah, I just think that's he's playing too much, and I think he thinks he's too good, right?
Maybe.
I think he believes his own hype a little bit too much because he's not, in my mind, he's not that spectacular of a fighter. Like I just think he has these athletic gifts, and he gets away with certain shit.
Let's not forget, though, he did fight in July. He did fight Damian Maya.
Why does everyone make it seem like he was out way longer then?
Well, because he had those two boring-ass fights with Stephen Thompson, and those feel like an eternity ago, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I still
feel like he's been out for a minute because he had that injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I just think Till's going to...
he fought in July of last year.
Okay. So it has sense. Been a while.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just got Till.
All right. Normally I want to be like, I'm going with the hot hand, Till.
Yeah.
Right? And I think to myself, man, like all my intuition tells me pick Till. But like I look at the guys that Tyron Woodley has beaten lately and Damian Maya, Stephen Thompson, Robbie Lawler, Kelvin Gastelum, the Donger. Dong Hyun Kim.
Mm-hmm.
But then I look at who he lost to, and his last loss was to Rory McDonald. And I feel like, man, if you lose a decision to Rory McDonald, you are for sure losing a decision to Darren Till.
Yeah, he doesn't do well with long, lanky guys.
But, man, it's so tough. It's so tough. I feel like I have to go with Till because he's the hot hand. But man, I won't be shocked if Tyron Woodley...
Yeah, that's me too.
Wins in an upset, but I agree. I feel like it's got to be Darren Till. I feel like the time is now for him, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Darren Till getting the belt and getting all the promotion, and people are all excited.
Like I want to pick Woodley. Like I don't know why. I kind of want Woodley to win.
Oh, I don't.
I'd rather see. I just want to see him. I don't even like Woodley either.
Yeah. So, I want to see Tyron Woodley rematch with Robbie Lawler is what I want to see because that fight was too fast.
It's
man.
Too
I
fast. And then
that shit again.
You always notice that's the one he always brings up.
Yeah.
He always talks about, but I knocked out Robbie Lawler. And da, da, da. Yeah, you caught him. Congrats.
Yeah, like, man.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not a fan of Woodley. I'm not even a fan of Till. I hope they both lose, to be honest.
I hate that feeling when you want both fighters to lose.
Yeah, like I don't know why. I just don't like them. They annoy me.
I like Darren Till all right.
Nah. He's too aggressive. He thinks he's the best of the world. It's every dog has a day. Fuck you, dude. Shut up. I'm tired of I'm tired of everyone from England. I'm tired of everyone from Ireland or Scotland or fucking any of these European countries that come over and they are talking all this big game and fucking jerking off Conor. Like,
where the fuck did all these people come from? And all of a sudden they're the fucking greatest talkers in the world. It's just annoying.
It is a little bit annoying.
It's fucking annoying. And then the UFC just wants to run it down your throat because they have these accents and the fucking... It's, I hate it.
You know who's the most annoying to me?
Hmm.
And a lot of people won't know who this is because not everyone watches Cage Warriors or Cage Rage. I can't
fucking
remember.
Fucking Paddy Pimblett, Hooligan or whatever. Yeah.
Paddy Pimblett.
He's not even good either.
He is not good. He's so overrated, man.
Very.
So overrated.
They protect him with the judges.
Oh, my God. Hometown decisions all day with that guy.
Yeah.
But apparently, I read an article, he turned down a deal with the UFC and stayed with that promotion because they offered him more money
than the UFC.
Than the UFC did, which I thought was kind of crazy.
Which, you know, it's not surprising. You know what? It doesn't surprise me because in America, we only think of the UFC and Bellator because those are the big American promotions, right?
Yeah.
No one considers like, okay, but this is another country in England. Right, they can pay. They can still pay a lot. It's a big show over there in the Europe.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. He hold on, give me one second.
Yeah, his. Did you ever see his fight? Well, I'm sure you did, but with Juicy J,
mm-hmm.
He clearly lost that fight.
He absolutely lost that fight, and that was exactly what I was just trying to look up. He lost that fight. It was so clear that he lost that fight, and they gave him, you know, that he got this like major hometown decision.
Yeah.
And you know, he's obnoxious, and I think people like obnoxiousness now. I think that's the new hot shit. I don't get it. Like,
he has a fucking bowl cut.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, he doesn't sound like the brightest dude in the world. But yeah, he lost to he beat Julian Arosa on a decision, unanimous decision. But man, he got worked in that fight. And then, you know, then people think like he's this unstoppable powerhouse. But the fight after that, he lost, and then he had a win, and then then the other night he had a loss. And it's like,
what is his record?
He's like 14-3.
Okay,
I mean, he's not a bad fighter. You know, I mean, he's not terrible. He's just not as great as people think he is.
They try to make him,
yeah, exactly. And I think it's like, I think it's the idea that he's this unsung hero who didn't sign with the UFC, who's like this guy the UFC hyped up, and mm-hmm. you know,
no, he knew, he knows,
you know, but good on him to go get that money where, you know, whoever gives you the most money, like,
yeah,
that's who you need to go with. Like,
yep. I am 1,000%. Fight life is short. I am behind that 1,000%, which is when we get done, I'm going to talk to you about something.
All right.
so yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for the week. Hope you got enough of the bowel talk up front to tide you over for another week. And, yeah, make sure that you follow us on Instagram, and you have an Instagram, right? Uber Smitty.
Yeah, everything's Uber Smitty.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at David Golden MMA. You can hit us both up there on Twitter or whatever. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast. Share it with your friends. Give it a thumbs up over there on the Facebook. All that. Don't be stingy with the likes and the shares. We would appreciate it. And
all that stuff.
Yeah, man. Until next time, we'll talk to you then. Peace.
Later.